If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Colossians chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7, a word for the new year. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and this morning we will read from the New King James Version because it's a better translation of the Greek. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And let's pray. Lord, just thank you for a first service in a church in a brand new year. Just thank you, Lord, for a brand new opportunity to draw closer to you. And I pray, Lord, this morning that you would just teach us how we need to be walking with you. The blessings that come from that, the responsibilities, what we need to do, Lord, to walk with you every single day. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Do you even bother making New Year's resolutions anymore? Because most people don't. Because most people don't keep them anyway. The top three resolutions that people made for last year, 2018, are to eat healthy, lose weight, and save money. The top three resolutions that people made for this year, 2019, eat healthy, lose weight, and save money. So if we didn't even do what we resolved to do last year, why would we bother resolving to do anything in particular this year? But the Holy Spirit is telling us this morning, there is one resolution that every single one of us Christians needs to make and keep in 2019. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us exactly what that is. We turn today to Colossians chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7. The church at Colossae was planted by a disciple of Paul named Epaphras while Paul was in Ephesus. And later on, when Paul was in prison, Epaphras comes to him and tells him that the Christians in Colossae were not staying faithful to Jesus. So in our text today, Paul gets to the heart of the whole problem and tells them exactly the same thing the Holy Spirit is telling us today. Stay faithful, keep going, keep growing, keep walking with Jesus Christ. Our text this morning, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, tells us three things that we need to do to keep walking with Jesus in 2019. Let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do in order to keep walking with Jesus, we need to be committed to doing it. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in the first part of verse 6. Therefore, as you received Christ the Lord, so walk in Him, which literally means continue in Him in everything you do, 24/7, 365. And it all comes from an understanding of what salvation is really all about. See, we Christians got saved from something for something. We got saved by Jesus Christ so we would walk with Jesus Christ, so we would live for Jesus Christ. So salvation is not just a one-time decision. It is the start of a lifelong road trip with Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. If we claim to be in Him, we must walk like Jesus walked. We need to be committed to doing that. But the question is this morning, how many Christians really are? Because sadly enough, with too many Christians, it's all talking and no walking. See, Christianity is not just something we're supposed to know, it's also something we're supposed to do. Christianity is not just about believing, it's also about behaving. It's not just something that we have in our heart, it's also something that we're supposed to live out every single day in our daily lives. The question is, are we doing that? Pat Sajak, host of Wheel of Fortune, is a Hollywood celebrity, and yet he is constantly tweeting out messages about the importance of faith and family and criticizing Hollywood for all the garbage that it produces. And even though he catches seven kinds of hell for it, he doesn't stop. And you know why? Because Pat Sajak is a Christian, lifelong member of the Disciples of Christ Church, who walks with Jesus every single day as Lord of his life. So the question is this morning, is Jesus Lord of our lives? Not just Savior of our soul, but Lord of our everyday lives. Are we walking with Jesus in every part of our lives? When you're at school? When we're on the job? The way you talk to your parents? The way we treat our spouses? The shows that you watch on TV? Where you go when you're on your phone? And I know some Christians are hearing this right now saying, Kevin, that's just legalistic. I don't even worry about that stuff. I just really love Jesus. Really? Jesus said, John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now tell me again how much you really love Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, Jesus said, you come to me, you're going to deny yourself, lay down your life, take up your cross, and do everything I tell you to do. And if you're not committed to doing that whole hog, forget it. You are not a disciple of mine. Folks, we cannot accept Jesus as our Savior and then reject Him as our Lord, because it's a package deal. You accept Jesus Christ, you walk with Jesus Christ. And do everything He tells you to do, when He tells you to do it, how He tells you to do it. And do we realize how important that is? Evangelist Billy Graham died last February the 21st. The whole first part of Billy Graham's will that he left behind is begging his family to stay faithful to Jesus. This is part of what it says. I urge all my children and grandchildren to walk with the Lord all the days of their lives in a life of separation from the world. Walking with Jesus. And do we understand the blessing that comes as a result of that? President George H.W. Bush prayed out loud with his wife Barbara every single night of their marriage. If he wasn't there, he did it by phone. How many of y'all realize it's those things you do to walk with Jesus that gives you the juice to be the leader of the free world and enough character to have a funeral like that and be remembered the way he was? Christians, are we committed to walking with Jesus Christ? Because the world today isn't committed to much of anything at all. 90% of all books sold in America today are never read past the first chapter. 93% of all gym memberships are dropped after the first month. So if you want to start a health club, don't do it in January when they're packed. Start in February when they look like ghost towns. Winston Churchill said this, never run when you can walk, never walk when you can sit, and never sit when you can lie down. How many people today have the same attitude? Not committed to much of anything at all. And if they are committed to something, sadly enough, it's something stupid. Netflix has that show on now called The Bird Box, where characters wear blindfolds 24 hours a day to keep from seeing monsters that are roaming around in the world. So, of course, people today are doing the Bird Box challenge by going blindfolded 24 hours at a time and not seeing where they're going. They're not committed to walking right at all. But sadly enough, too many Christians aren't either. Every single year, 2.7 million more Christians drop out of the church and never go back. Where's the commitment? Now, maybe they had it when they were young. Pop singer John Legend grew up in a Christian home, Springfield, Ohio. His grandpa was the pastor of the church. His grandma was the organist of the church. His mother was the choir director. And he even directed the choir and sang in the choir when he was growing up. Every Sunday, church lasted from 10 o'clock in the morning until 1:30 in the afternoon. And then the whole family would all go back home and eat a big dinner together. But what are Sundays like for John Legend now? This is what he said in USA Weekend magazine. Today, our Sundays are still about family and love and being relaxed and lazy. And when we're home, we still cook a big dinner. But what about the whole church thing? See, walking with Jesus, nothing but a distant memory. Pop singer Prince said this back in 2012. God is inside all of us and just wants us to go out and play. And where did that philosophy get him? Dead from an overdose of fentanyl in 2016. Now, don't misunderstand. God wants us to have fun and enjoy life. But folks, we got to realize this life is not a playground. It's a battleground. And there's a war on for the hearts and minds and souls of billions and billions of people starting right here with our very own, all depending on whether or not we walk with Jesus. Christians, let me ask you this morning, and I ask this of me just as much as anybody else listening. Are we really walking with Jesus in 2019? Or are we just walking with the world and following the crowd wherever it takes us? Christians, are we walking with Jesus no matter what kind of blowback we may get from the world for doing it? Last year in Lake City, Michigan, the high school football coach there, a guy named Kyle Smith, had a little four-year-old daughter who had lymphoma cancer. So after every practice during the summer, all the players on his football team would gather around him on the football field and pray for him and for his wife and for their daughter that she would be healed. Coach never asked for it. Totally led by the players. Nobody was ever forced to participate in it in any way, shape, or form. And the players posted pictures of their prayer circle on social media to remind other people to be praying for them too. What a wonderful thing. But not according to the Michigan chapter of the Freedom from Religion Foundation, who apparently didn't have anything better to do because they filed a lawsuit against that team claiming they were promoting a religious prayer service on school property. Even though nothing in the U.S. Constitution, nothing in the Michigan State Constitution says it's illegal for students, those players, to pray at school. People, who in the world is against prayer for a sick four-year-old girl? Evidently they are. And because of that lawsuit, last September, the school had a royal cow and told the football team to cease and desist. So those players quit praying. But last September, the Freedom from Religion Foundation also found out that Dawson City High School in Dawsonville, Georgia, had a tradition for like ever of having local pastors come into the locker room and pray with their high school football team before every game start. And those pastors would pray that those kids would glorify God during the games. Nobody ever saw those prayer meetings outside the locker room. Nobody else was ever invited to them. Nobody was forced to participate in them in any way, shape, or form. And in the entire history of that school, not one person ever complained about it. But in spite of that, the Freedom from Religion Foundation filed a lawsuit against that school to get those pastors out of the locker room. But see, the players on that football team were absolutely committed to keep that prayer meeting going. So you know what they did? Because it is constitutional for the students, the football players, to lead the prayers, they moved the prayer meeting from outside the locker room where nobody saw it to right in the middle of the football field where everybody could see it. And right in front of the whole crowd, different players took turns leading the prayers, and they even invited people from the stands to come down and join them. And they did, by the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. So that prayer meeting not only continued, it was even more visible and better attended than it ever was before. And by the way, Dawsonville High School football team made the playoffs last year for the first time in 8 years. Christians, do we see what can happen when we are committed enough to keep walking with Jesus no matter what the world tries to do? Listen to me. I don't care what the world thinks about you. I don't care what they may try to do to stop you or slow you down or shut you down. I don't care how much flack you're getting. You keep serving, you keep obeying, you keep walking with Jesus, and God will use it to bring many, many people to Himself. The first thing we need to do to keep walking with Jesus, we need to be committed to doing it. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to keep walking with Jesus in 2019. We not only need to be committed to doing it, we also need to be set free so we can do it. Because way too many Christians today are completely bound by all kinds of things. Fear, worry, anger, grudges, memories, porn, same-sex attraction, and every kind of drug from Hershey bars to heroin and everything in between. And if you don't believe that, then you don't pastor a church, do you? And in order to be set free from those things, we first of all have to admit that those problems are there and stop making excuses for them. I had a woman tell me once, "Kevin, I don't have a drinking problem. I drink just fine. Chocolate makes my clothes shrink." No. "Of course I watch what I eat. My eyes are above my mouth." No. "Kevin, I'm fine. It's everybody else who has the problem." No. We admit that those problems are there, and then we repent. And repentance doesn't just mean we feel bad about them. It means we take those problems to Jesus so He can set us free from them. Because Jesus Christ has already set us free from everything that has us bound. Because Jesus already defeated all those things when He died on the cross 2,000 years ago. Because we are in Christ, when Jesus died on the cross, we died with Him. Romans chapter 6, verse 8. So Christians, right now, we are dead man walking when it comes to sin. When Jesus died for sin, we died to sin, that the body of sin might be rendered powerless. So we are no longer slaves to sin, because everyone who has died has been freed from sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Christians, we're free now. We're free already. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Folks, Jesus did not die on a cross so we would live a defeated life. We are no longer slaves to sin, so we need to quit acting like it and start fighting against it. And because we are free from sin, we can fight against it. And a very simple way to fight against sin that Weight Watchers and Narcotics Anonymous and all kinds of 12-step programs have no clue about. Every single one of us human beings was created by God to know Him and love Him and to be close to Him and to get all of our peace and all of our comfort and all of our satisfaction from Him. And if we don't know and love God, we will try absolutely anything else to fill that hole. And nothing else does. So any addiction, every addiction, is just an attempt to get from the food or the phone or the porn things that we can only get from God. So every addiction is the result of not having enough God or not letting God have enough of us. And because nothing that we substitute for God works, those things don't do anything except feed our flesh, and eventually they end up destroying us. Last June the 8th, 20-year-old actor Jackson O'Dell, who starred in TV shows like The Goldbergs and Modern Family, committed suicide with an overdose of cocaine. Folks, you don't let your flesh die, your flesh won't let you live. We got to kill off that sin before it kills us. And how do we do that? Verse 6 says we have received Jesus. We've received Jesus Christ Himself inside of us with all the power that we need to destroy that sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Jesus Christ is more powerful than any addiction you can imagine. So instead of trying to tear down all those strongholds in your life, make Jesus your stronghold and let Him tear them down for you. You don't pursue freedom from porn, you pursue Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ will set you free from the porn. You don't pursue freedom from homosexuality, you pursue Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will set you free from the same-sex attraction, or He will destroy the power that it has over you to control you. To beat a food addiction, you go on a diet of bread and water. Bread of life and living water, that's Jesus. And you exercise by walking with Jesus every single day. That's the power. And how do we access that power? Well, if the cause of every addiction is not loving God enough, then the cure for every addiction is loving Him like we should. Here's Dan Vogt, elder in this church. Dan Vogt does not cheat on his wife. And why? Number one, because he doesn't even want to do that. And number two, because he loves his wife and wants to do absolutely everything he can to please her. We love God like we should. We'll do everything we can to please Him. And the sin goes. And I know there's somebody hearing me right now. You say, Kevin, I really love Jesus, but I'm still drinking. No, you love Jesus Christ and you also love the drinking. And which one wins depends on which one you spend the most time with. But if you love Jesus like you should, and you're in a right relationship with Him, and you're walking with Him every single day, the drinking will go. And I know there's people hearing me right now. You say, Kevin, that's too simple. No, it isn't. You don't think that love is the key to being set free? Back in 2008, pop singer Miley Cyrus fell in love with an Australian actor named Liam Hemsworth. And in 2012, they got engaged. But then Miley Cyrus went completely off the rails, sticking her tongue out, doing all kinds of raunchy things during her worldwide bangers tour, swinging naked on a wrecking ball in a music video. She smoked pot like crazy, hung out with all kinds of bad gal pals. She even twerked with singer Robin Thicke at the 2013 MTV Music Awards. And after that, Liam Hemsworth decided he had enough of the sleaze and he broke off the engagement. And do you know what Miley Cyrus did then? Notice you haven't heard a whole lot about her since. Because Miley Cyrus completely changed. She kept her tongue in her mouth. She kept her clothes on. She stopped twerking. Her music today is a lot more country and a lot more mild than it has ever been before. She stopped smoking weed. She dropped her posse completely. That woman changed from wild child to Miss Goody Two Shoes. So back in 2016, Liam Hemsworth took her back. They got reengaged. And just this past December the 23rd, they got married at her parents' house in Tennessee. Why did Miley Cyrus change? Miley Cyrus got rid of all the bad things because she wanted a committed, lifelong relationship with the love of her life. And Christians, exactly the same reason why we get rid of all the bad things too, because we want a committed, lifelong relationship with the love of our life, Jesus Christ. How many of y'all realize God wants you to love Him just as much as He wants you to obey Him? And it's that love for God that helps keep us clean. And to help us keep walking with Jesus, God knows exactly how to destroy all those things in our lives that are trying to destroy us. One of the greatest natural wonders in the whole wide world today is the Great Barrier Reef off the coast of Australia. Absolutely gorgeous. But over the last couple of years, an invasive species called the crown of thorns starfish, COTS, COTS, has destroyed almost 50% of the coral in that reef, sucking the life out of it. People, it's killing it. And the only known way to get rid of that crown of thorns starfish is by injecting it with a deadly poison. But because there's hundreds of thousands of those things all over that reef, no human diving team could ever get them all. So last year, scientists invented the COTSBOT, an underwater autonomous vehicle that roams over every square inch of that reef, uses a computerized camera to identify those crown of thorns starfish, and then uses an arm to inject it with that deadly poison. And that thing doesn't inject anything else except those starfish that need to be killed off, freeing up that reef from everything that's trying to destroy it. Isn't that incredible? But Christians, we need to realize God has something even more incredible than that to get rid of all those invaders in our lives that are keeping us bound and trying to destroy us too. It's called the Holy Spirit, who comes into our hearts, identifies all those things that are trying to enslave us, very carefully puts them to death, and sets us free too. As long as we surrender to the Holy Spirit and let Him roam over every square inch of our lives and do His work. Romans chapter 8, verse 13, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we put to death the misdeeds of the body. The second thing we need to do to walk with Jesus, we need to be set free. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to keep walking with Jesus. We not only need to be committed to doing it, we not only need to be set free so we can do it. Third, we need to be built up so we can do it. Verse 6 tells us what we need to do. Verse 7 tells us how we can get it done. We need to be built up and established in the faith that we were taught. And those Christians in the city of Colossae needed to do exactly the same thing. Paul is in prison in Rome. Epaphras comes to him and tells him that false teaching is running wild in that church. So notice verse 8, Paul immediately starts railing against it. But here in verse 7, he tells the Colossians, first of all, what they need to do to prevent that false teaching to begin with. Constantly, continuously be built up in what you know is true. And Christians, we need to do exactly the same thing. Because there's all kinds of false teaching in the Church of Jesus Christ today. Everybody and his brother today is railing, previous picture, against doctrine. We don't need doctrine. Doctrine divides. You bet it divides. It divides the sheep from the goats. And doctrine also unites people who still give a rip about the truth. But the question is, how many Christians still do? Folks, right now we are witnessing the Church of Jesus Christ in America committing spiritual suicide because it's selling out all kinds of biblical truth for the sake of popularity and political correctness. The spirit of the age is compromised. A survey by Lifeway Research recently showed this. 78% of Christians in America today say Jesus was created by God. That's a heresy called Arianism. It's what the Jehovah's Witnesses preach. 60% of all Christians believe Christianity is based on personal opinion and not objective truth. Half of all Christians believe the Bible doesn't condemn homosexual behavior. 56% of Christians believe the Bible is not totally true. 38% believe Jesus committed sin. 33% believe there is no hell. Over half of Christians believe that God accepts all faith systems as true and valid. Christians, we are in serious, serious trouble. Wheaton College, Billy Graham's alma mater, is now apologizing for the pro-life message. Azusa Pacific University recently had two board members resign because that school is drifting away from biblical orthodoxy. Dictionary.com's word of the year for 2018 was misinformation. And sadly enough, that's what's being preached and pushed in too many churches today. Don't tell me that we don't need to be built up in the truth. And it's no secret how that's done. We need to spend time with Jesus Christ in prayer and in the Word. And notice this text here says we walk. We don't run. Because spiritual maturity and being built up is not instant coffee. It doesn't happen in a hurry. No preacher can zap it into you standing in the prayer line. It's not a 100-meter dash. It is a lifelong marathon. A long, steady, gradual built-up, day by day, day after day after day. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. He who trusts in God will never be in a hurry. How many of y'all realize it takes time to go deeper? My wife Sue read through the Bible again last year. This time she read it chronologically, meaning she read all the books as they were chronologically written in order. And notice, Sue didn't take a bunch of no-dos and knock it out in a couple of days. She read a little bit of the Bible every single day, day after day, until she was done at the end of the year. Slow, steady, gradual buildup. Jesus said, John chapter 8, verse 31, if you continue in my word, if you remain in my word, in the Greek, that literally means a little bit at a time, day after day, over and over again, then you will be my disciples. And look at how that builds us up. Verse 7 here has three metaphors. They're all mixed, but the message is the same. First of all, it roots us in Jesus Christ, just like a palm tree. How many times during hurricanes do we see palm trees so bent over by the wind, they're almost parallel to the ground? And yet, they hardly ever break off. And you know why? Well, first of all, because they don't have long branches and limbs like other trees that act like sails. And because palm trees hold a lot of water. Because God created them to be elastic and flexible. But most of all, it's because of their roots. Palm trees have a big old root ball that acts like an anchor. And then thousands and thousands and thousands of roots that grow out like tension cables in all directions. So the entire root system of a palm tree is way buku wider than even the top of the tree. People, it's very, very, very difficult to uproot a palm tree. And right after that hurricane wind quits howling, what happens? The palm tree springs right back up, even stronger than it ever was before the storm. Psalm chapter 92, verse 12. The righteous will flourish like the palm tree because of the roots. Christians, let me ask you, how deep are you rooted in Jesus Christ? Then verse 7, we need to be established and built up. And that phrase in the Greek literally means to build on a foundation. Now, every single one of us Christians got a basic foundation when we got saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. But that's just the start, because we're supposed to be constantly, continuously building on that foundation and adding to it. And if we do, there's no limit to how high we can go. Right now, the tallest building in the whole wide world is one called the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, United Arab Emirates. 163 floors, 2,717 feet high. And how in the world can they build a 500,000-ton building that high up in the sky? Because that building is resting on 110,000 tons of 56,000 cubic yards of 12 feet thick steel-reinforced concrete, which in turn is resting on 192 giant caissons of steel-reinforced concrete sunk 200 feet below the surface of the ground and standing on solid granite bedrock. People shy of a nuclear bomb, that building ain't going anywhere. The stronger your foundation, the higher you can build, and the further you can go with God. Christians, let me ask you this morning, how strong is your foundation? And what are you building on it for Jesus Christ? Third, in order to be built up, the text says, we need to be abounding or overflowing with thankfulness. In the Greek, that literally means water that's overflowing the banks of a flooded river. Are we thankful? Last November the 9th, the famous Paradise Fire destroyed 90% of the town of Paradise, California. And one of the survivors, a 55-year-old man named Roy Roby, said this. Even though he lost everything he had, he said this: our house and barns, everything we own, including all of our dogs and horses, are totally gone. Our relatives and neighbors lost everything they had to their names. Our whole town looks like a war zone. And my wife and I barely made it out with only the clothes we're wearing. And we thank God so much for all of His goodness to us. Christians, could we be thankful in a situation like that? People, listen to me. I don't care what's going on in our lives right now. We're still alive. We've got air to breathe. We've got food in our stomachs. We've got a roof over our head. We've got a warm place to sleep. We have people in our lives who care about us. God does not treat us as our sins deserve, and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. For crying out loud, we ought to be down on our knees 24/7 with our hands in the air saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, for your goodness to us too. We got to build up. Christians, we need to build up because there is a very long, very hard walk in front of us that we need to finish. Nobody in the history of the whole wide world has ever walked all the way across the continent of Antarctica all alone and without any help. And everybody who has ever tried either had to quit or they died in the attempt. 2017, an explorer named Ben Paulson stopped 52 miles short of the finish because he ran out of food. 2016, an explorer named Henry Worsley had to stop 32 miles from the finish because of exhaustion, and he died a week later in a hospital. Well, last November the 2nd, a 33-year-old endurance athlete named Colin O'Brady from Portland, Oregon, became the latest person to take a stab at it. Last November the 2nd, he started on the west coast of Antarctica at the Ron Ice Shelf, hiked uphill 9,186 feet to the South Pole, and was attempting to go down south to the Ross Ice Shelf where the finish line was. And the only reason Colin O'Brady attempted it is because he built up and prepared like nobody else ever had before. Now, because he was doing this without any support, he had to take with him everything he needed, which meant he would be pulling a sled with over 400 pounds of stuff in it every single step of the way. 55 pounds of fuel to melt the snow for the water that he needed. A tent, a sleeping bag, extra skis, extra ski poles, a GPS tracker and a compass so he wouldn't get lost. Extra phones, a solar charger, a satellite phone in case he had to be rescued, and 220 pounds of food. All consisting of astronaut powder and special made energy bars, because everybody else who failed before always ran out of food. And because pulling a 400-pound sled 14 hours a day, he'd be burning about 10,000 calories a day. Started out last November the 2nd, by last December the 10th, he was 20 miles away from the South Pole. And Colin O'Brady prepared and built up in all kinds of other ways too. The 2 years previous to this, previous to his start, he started doing triathlons. He hiked to the North Pole. He climbed all the highest peaks on all seven continents. He did a 30-day practice run with his sled in Greenland. He lived in the gym, did all kinds of strength training and conditioning and cardio and running and biking and weightlifting, and added 20 pounds of muscle to his body. And because he was only set for a few phone calls to his wife, he would be living totally isolated away from all human contact. He spent time training his mind to be quiet by going 10-day stretches out of time without any human contact, without making any sound, without hearing anything from anything. That guy was prepared. And people, he needed every bit of it. Average daytime temperatures on that trip were 18 below zero. Nighttime, it was 50 below zero. 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts constantly tried to knock him down. The food that he needed to eat to stay alive was so miserable it made him sick and he lost 30 pounds. 24 hours a day sun made it almost impossible for him to sleep, so he was constantly so tired he was ready to drop. And yet every single day he would get up, get everything ready, and start walking another 14 straight hour stretch. He did that day after day over and over again. And he never quit because he knew if he quit, he was going to die. Finally, last December the 23rd, he finished all 932 miles in 54 days and did the last 77 and a half miles in one long single 32-hour march. Just got up, made a decision, locked on, and kept walking until he was done. This is what Colin O'Brady said. I just made a decision that no matter how tired I was, no matter how cold and hungry I was, no matter how much I hurt and wanted to quit, I was just going to keep putting one foot in front of the other and just keep walking until I was done. People, that's incredible. But Christians, we've got to realize God has called us to walk a trip that's even more incredible than that one. One that doesn't just last 932 miles. This one lasts the rest of our entire lives. And it's even harder than that one because every single step along our way, the devil, the world, and the flesh are constantly trying to distract us and knock us off our feet and knock us off course. We've got to be prepared and built up too by doing all kinds of spiritual exercises and spiritual workouts and spending regular quiet time with God in prayer and in His Word. And the good news is we don't have to make our trip all by ourselves and without any help because Jesus Christ is with us, giving us the strength we need every single step along the way. So Christians, listen to me. I don't care where you are right now in your walk with Jesus Christ. I don't care how cold you are. I don't care how strong the wind is against you. I don't care how sick or tired or hungry you are. I don't care how much you're hurting. I don't care how many times you're tempted to quit. You quit, you're going to die. You make a decision, lock on, and start walking. And you keep walking until you're done, until Jesus calls your name and takes you home. But the question is, Christians, are we really going to do that? Because the Colossian Christians didn't. For whatever reason, they quit walking with Jesus. Because that church in Colossae died out a long time ago, and today it's nothing but a pile of ruins. They didn't make it. Question is this morning, are we going to make it? However long ago you got saved, you got a really good start. But see, it's not enough to get a really good start. You also have to have a really good finish. And that means you got to keep walking. You got to keep walking and not look back. You keep walking and don't let anybody or anything else slow you down or stop you or knock you off course. Keep on walking. There's other Christians listening to this sermon right now, right here in this room. You've never really walked with Jesus Christ after you got saved. Journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. Today, you need to take that first step in a lifelong walk with Jesus Christ. This new year, 2019, needs to be a year of repentance. A year of being set free. The year that you finally start getting rooted in. The year that you finally start building on that foundation that God laid in your life when you came to know Him as your Savior. And I got to tell you, Jesus has already got His walking shoes on. He's ready to go whenever you are. And He will walk right next to you every single day. But He's waiting for you to make the first move. He's waiting for you to take that first step. Let's do that today, right now, in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You so much for Your goodness and Your grace and Your mercy. Just thank You, Lord, so much for salvation. We deserved absolutely nothing but hell. You came down here, gave Your life, rose from the dead to give us brand new life. But Lord, You've called us to do more than trust You as Savior. You've also called us to walk with You and follow You as Lord of our lives. Lord, we just thank You for the forgiveness that You give us for the times, Lord, we've gone our own way. We haven't wanted to walk with You at all. We wanted to sit in one place and do nothing. Just ask, Lord, that You would motivate us. 2019, this would be the year we would start walking with You, doing the things You've called us to do. I just thank You, Lord, for the way that You keep encouraging us. You keep pointing us forward. I just ask, Lord, that all of us making that decision right now, we would walk with you in 2019, and you'll lead us to incredible things, all the incredible plans that you have for our future, and the future of this church. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.